Now, I have it all out here. I just want to see where I want to take you first. Let's go to Numbers, and Numbers chapter 23. No, you can start there, but that's I want to say something tonight, and I just want to get I've got some scriptures, but I don't want to give all this. Put something in Numbers chapter 23, and go with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Second Kings chapter 4. In 2 Kings chapter 4, this is an account, and I won't go through it all, but you recall this was a woman who whose children were, two sons were about to be taken and put in bondage, debtor's bondage, because she was in debt. Her husband had died and left her in debt, and her two kids were about to be taken and made indentured servants, slaves, virtually, and they were going to work off the debt. So she's going to take the kids and so forth. I mean, this really was something that troubled this woman completely, to the point that, I'll read verse 1. And now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what is thou in the house?" And she said, "Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." And then he said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out in all these vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me yet another vessel, but bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed or stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Now go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest." Okay. You know, the biggest thing that I have seen that has happened in the church that has tried to keep the church from moving into its fullness is intellectualism. And I say that meaning I know we have to use our minds. So I'm not saying don't use your mind. But basically, what builds the church is something called spiritual food or revelation. And that grows you. That makes you strong. You'll find a church that has no revelation knowledge. You'll find that that church, it seems like the people haven't grown. They're doing religious things and coming on Sundays, whatever have you. It seems like they haven't grown. And it seems like you have to go one step further from information into revelation. And once you get revelation in, you know, in your life, things begin to happen. Something comes alive on the inside. You get knowledge that didn't come through your natural mind. You got knowledge that came directly from God. And when we're talking about debt cancellation, you know, too often I think what happens is we try to apply the secular intellectual solutions to solving the problems that are in this earth rather than getting the wisdom of God and solving the problem. Now, I'm not saying you don't think, but I'm saying that there is a better way of solving problems than just through the pure intellect. That there is the wisdom of God which comes from God into your spirit and is available to you because of your covenant with God. That you have a covenant of prosperity, a covenant of peace. And that covenant came through Jesus Christ for us. And as long as you're in Christ, that covenant is in effect. And that covenant gives you superior capabilities that you don't have to operate like the world operates. Now, I'm certainly not saying that if somebody wants to do it the world's way, then you can't do it that way, because you can do it that way. But I'm looking here, and I look through this Bible. And this Bible has a different way of doing things. In fact, Jesus teaches, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Now, when he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," you look at the other translations, it says, "Seek God's way of doing things." Over in Isaiah 55, he says, verses 8 through 11, he said, "Your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Notice what he said first. Your thinking, and then your ways. You got what I'm saying? And I'm saying if we get our thinking from God, which is knowledge, then our ways will be different. And the thing of it is we are listening many times to the secular programs and so forth and so on, and we come from that. And a lot of that's been trained or ingrained into our thinking, into our minds. And what we have to do is we have to let go of that, because God has a better way of solving your problems. In fact, I was doing some study this morning. I was getting ready for taping for Sunday's message. And I was doing some study this morning, and I saw basically the church is God's answer to solve every problem the world has. The church is. That we can tap into a wisdom or mysteries that the world doesn't even know about and can't even come close to. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, that's us. That's us. And we should be trained as to how to tap into that. So she runs to the man of God. Now, she didn't go and get a secular accountant to tell her what to do. Now I want you to hear me now. I have nothing against that. But she went to a man of God who got a solution from the Spirit of God. Amen. Got it? This is totally different now. And the Bible tells us over in Psalms chapter 1, it says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the what? Law of the Lord." What's another substitute that I can put there for law of the Lord? Word of God. His delight is in the Word of God. See? And in his law does he meditate day and night. Now, what does meditation do? Meditation takes it from information to what? To revelation. And that's what you got to do. You just can't come in here and just hear another sermon, because that's what the intellectual does. That what you got to do is say, whoa, I need some revelation here. Because that's going to strengthen me. That's going to make it so that the gates of hell will not prevail against me. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does prospereth. It didn't say whatever he does prospereth if the economy is good. It had nothing to do with that. So your answer to the economy, when somebody asks you, well, how's it going? I know it's rough out there. You said, no, I'm just not participating in that. Now, that's what your answer should be. I went out today. I was doing some things and getting some flying currency going. And went out there. And the guy, you know, he talked to me. He said, oh, yeah, I mentioned. I said, yeah. I said, no, I can't fly on that day because that's the work I have to work. Oh, thank God you're working. I mean, really, you could see what was on his mind. Flying wasn't on his mind. His mind was, he was got some work. Are you following what I'm saying? So it doesn't make any difference. I mean, that there's a prosperity that God has for covenant people that would distinguish you from the rest of the world. Say amen to that. And let me just show you one more thing, if you'll just keep something at 2 Kings chapter 4. And one more thing over in Exodus chapter 4, if you will. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Now, hold on just a minute. Exodus chapter 4. Just give you a moment to get there. All right. In Exodus chapter 4, look at verse 17. And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, and with it, wherewith thou shalt do what? Signs. So Moses had to keep up with that rod. You know why? Because God said, with this rod, you're going to do signs. Well, I got a news for you. With revelation, you're going to do signs. That's what it's for. The next thing after revelation is manifestation. And a lot of times you haven't seen manifestation in the church because there's been no revelation up in there. I think her revelation was that a man of God had her prosperity in his mouth. Now, I want you to see something. Turn back to 2 Kings chapter 4. I want you to see something that she didn't pay this thing down. Pay a little bit on it this month, pay a little bit on it next month, and, you know, after 3 years, pay it down, so forth. Or go to a debt counseling service, and they say, okay, you know, you send me so much, and then you pay on this so much, so forth. That's all right. That's all right. Nothing wrong with that. I'm saying if your faith is not there, then that's your alternative. But God has a better way of doing things. I said God had a better way of doing things. Do you agree that this woman had a time-sensitive need? She needed that debt cancel when? Right now. Now, I'm only saying the only reason why we think time is because we've been trained in time. But your new perception of time unlocks the supernatural. Understand that faith overrides time. It takes what can take 3 years to pay off to right now. Say amen to this. Now, so, next thing. I said it on Sunday. I said that battles are necessary for you to get to where you're going. Why do you think he told the woman, come inside and shut the door? I have a sneaking suspicion. I think you have to shut every one of the gates to your mind. The eye gate, the ear gate, you got to shut them off. Because that enemy is master over the central. And he will try to bring something up to try to make you think this won't work. I'm preaching better than you saying amen now. Shut the door. Shut the door. You believe in for something, there's no time to argue with somebody. Shut the door. Say amen to this. You believe in for somebody, there's no time to get off into something that you ain't got no business getting off into. Wait till you get your harvest, then get off into it. No, I'm just kidding. When you believe in for something, there's no time there to start listening to all this, what's going on and how bad it is, and the economy is falling, and we getting a new economic council, and the government is cutting back, and General Motors laying off, and Alcoa Steel is and Toyota sales are down, and the billionaires are falling. You don't have time to listen to that, boy. You got to turn on me. Let me preach to you something. Am I right about it? You need to hear some good news. God is going to make you a newsmaker. He's going to turn you from a noisemaker to a newsmaker. Am I right about it? Say, I'm a newsmaker for Jesus. Amen. He's got to distinguish you in this thing. Shut the door. That thing didn't come to me till recently. I said, that's what she had to shut that door. She was shutting off her senses. Because her senses is where the battle is waged. And you can't get to the other side without a battle. So you got to shut them down. Shut them down. Nope. I ain't listening to that. Nope. Well, you know, Auntie so-and-so did that and she went broke. I'm cutting that off. No, that doesn't go for me. Now, you hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying, folks, I think if we come back to God, we can manifest miracles. We can see the supernatural. We can see debts paid off in 1 week. Come on, I'm talking about the whole house. I'm not talking about trying to make a payment. Do y'all follow what I'm saying here? Man, I'm catching this thing. The church is supernatural. We're not natural folk. Man, we have something called eternal life. That's a life that is renewed every day. Don't even get old. Boy, isn't that something?
That's right.
And what did she do? She followed the instructions. And once she followed those instructions, he asked her, what do I do next? She said, now go sell it all. Pay your debt and live you and your household on the rest. She went and obeyed the man of God. And when it was time to sell that oil, God gave her favor. And everybody in town wanted some oil. I can guarantee you, as you march right through this scripture, you'll see the blueprint for you paying your debt off and getting it debt-free. And I mean, on the books, so no matter what debts they are. I'm telling you, now this thing was speaking to me as I was doing this. So I saw something here. Now, turn to one more place. Turn to Mark, in Mark chapter 12. Am I taking too long with this? Mark chapter 12. Pardon me. Matthew chapter 12. Okay. You turn that air up. The high heat up is getting kind of warm in here now. Okay, Matthew chapter 12. Let me know when you get there. All right, look what it says. Verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. By thy words, you're going to be justified. By thy words, you're going to be condemned. Now, what did we say? We said that no one can stop you from reaching your destiny but you. Am I right about it? No circumstances can keep you from enjoying the full life in Christ in this earth. No circumstances. No person, no government, no nothing. And I'm going to tell you why that is. I'll show you why that is. Turn to Numbers chapter 23. That's the first place I told you to put some. Have you got it? You should have it. Look at Numbers 23. Look at verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie. Watch this. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not what? Do it? Or has he spoken? Come on. And shall he not? Come on. Make it good. Now let me ask you something. Who said give and it shall be given unto you? God said. Who's going to make it good? Can a man stop it?
No.
Nope. Can a circumstance stop it?
No.
Could a drought stop Isaac's 100-fold from coming in? Nothing. Nothing can stop you. But you. By your words. So the enemy tries to put enough pressure on you to get you to talking against your harvest. And I don't care what kind of way it looks, say thank you. I've given, now it is given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men have given into my bosom. I mean, put it in the past tense and just thank God for it.
Yes.
All right? Now, can I show you one more thing? Put it in the past tense, and let me show you the past tense now. Let me show you the past tense. Turn to Jonah. Now, I ain't got all day for you to find Jonah. Now, just go to the table of contents and find Jonah. This is part of your Bible study here. But I don't want you to start talking like the world out there because some things are going on and don't even participate in that conversation. God said, well, you know, is that thing affecting you? I said, no, it's not. I mean, they asked me, aren't your offerings down? I said, no. I believe it's a little increase. Amen. Oh yeah, I've been asked. Because we're not going to participate in that. That's not for us. When that plague came through Egypt, come on, y'all with me? And that last plague hit. It touched every house that didn't have the blood. And now we got a financial plague out there that's touching every house that don't have the blood. I don't know about you, but I got the blood over my house. Yep. They can see it in the spirit. That will not come nigh you. Now, this is Jonah now. He's in a big fish's belly. I said whale one time. Somebody couldn't wait to correct me. You know, Pastor, that really wasn't a whale. That's okay. I'm still learning. I'm just a pastor, but I'm still learning. And I really didn't mean to say that. I said it and they corrected it. That's good. Yet when you correct me, just do it gently. Okay. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Okay? Out of the fish's belly. Now, that's chapter 2, verse 1. Pardon me. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Now, what was in this fish's belly? Fish. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Okay. I started to give you $100. I started to. But now, when you look at this, here he was. As you know, Jonah got on a boat going the wrong way. In other words, sometimes, you know, we go the wrong way and stuff happens. But here, Jonah, he's going the wrong way. So he's on this boat with these people, and it was just terrible. And they knew something was wrong and so forth. Pretty soon discovered that Jonah should be going that way. He was going that way. So they threw him overboard. Boom. Big fish swallowed him up. Now he's in the fish's belly. All right. Now he's in there, you know, groaning and moaning and whatnot. But let's go down to verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Now, what does that mean to you? It means that if you look too hard at the circumstances and not at God's word, you begin to respond to the circumstances, which is where the enemy wants to trap you, to keep you in the place that you're at. Watch this. But I will what? Sacrifice unto thee with a what? Voice of thanksgiving. Now, what are we saying here? We're saying that right in the middle of this circumstance here, Jonah began to give thanks to God for what was going to manifest, not what has manifested. Now, don't say it. You sit up there and tell me, oh, I know all of this. If you know all of it, why ain't you paying off this building? If you know all of this, why aren't you paying part of the thing to pay this thing off? So, my point to you is that here he was sacrificing and thanking God even while he was still in the stomach of this big fish. Now, look what happened as a result of it. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake to the fish, and what did the fish do? Vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Now you saw manifestation. So while you're waiting on your harvest to manifest, what you're going to do? You're going to praise and thank God. Got it? That's all you have to do. And folks, this is not hard. The biggest thing is that the biggest thing I think has happened is God's people take their eyes off that word and start looking at something else and watch fear come in and stop the motion of that harvest from coming in. You can't do that. Can't do that. Got to thank him right in the middle of the difficulty, whatever you wait for. But it's coming. Amen. Why? Because God can't lie. Amen. He can't lie. He can't lie to you. He can't lie to anybody. Now, what can stop God from blessing you? Nobody. Nobody but you. Nobody else. Suppose it's the government. Can't stop God. Suppose it's bad weather. Can't stop God. Nothing. So that's what I want you to do. I'm here tonight to tell you to have faith in God. Don't have faith in that news media. They're designed to take you away from God. Man, I look at it, and you can't look at it over 5 minutes without them taking a commercial break and advertising. You got arthritis? Your heart? I mean, I said, man, if somebody ain't sick, by the time they finish looking at about 3 hours of this, they're going to need some help. Have you noticed that? Because folks who look at the news get sick. Okay, that's all I got to say. All right. Now, don't forget, we're going out again on a mission field, and we're going out to Brazil, or South America, really, in Brazil, mainly. And so if God speaks to your heart about adding something to the missions offering, please add that. I think God's speaking to me about, let's give another $1,000 tonight. Can we do that? Praise the Lord. Amen. See how my wife just agrees with that? Because she knows it comes back. Amen. Give the Lord a praise for it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We thank you for the anointing on me and these lips of clay that I may speak forth this word with excellence and accuracy and boldness. Asking you now to think through my mind, speak through my lips, and this word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. We thank you for it, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to read here, starting at verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. So we're going to talk about manifestation of the sons of God. We're going to talk about that. All right. See where I want to start here. Things are happening now in our world. And a lot of times people wonder what's going on. Well, we're moving towards what I call the end of the age. The end of the age. And Jesus talks about that. In fact, he brings out over in Matthew's gospel and chapter 24, he said that they were asking him privately, asking him what would be the sign of his coming, that is, the end of this age. And he said that, one, there's going to be deception. It's going to be happening. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. And you see what's happening with that. Verse 7, it says, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, all that, but the end is not yet. There'll be famines, pestilence, earthquakes, and so forth. And then in verse 14, he said, but the gospel of this kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. Witness is having to be a demonstration. So what we're seeing here is we're seeing manifestations of something. We're seeing manifestations of the coming of our Lord, the approaching of his second coming. And these manifestations that we see, we saw over in Isaiah chapter 60, it says that darkness shall become getting darker. Here you see manifestations of famines and pestilences, and you can research the people who study earthquakes, and they'll talk about how much more frequency we have now in earthquakes and hurricanes and so forth like that than were years ago. And because the earth is groaning under something. Something is happening. And so now you see also manifestations of evil that you haven't seen before. All kinds of stuff on television that they wouldn't show 40 years ago and so forth. It's manifesting. But that's the negative side. Also is manifesting the positive. And the sons of God are going to be manifesting. And we say sons, we're not necessarily talking about gender now. We're talking about the mature offspring of God. That they're going to be manifesting here in this earth at this time. And I said, and I told you before, that the church is the strongest institution, most powerful institution in the world ever. Ever will be and ever shall be. It is. And it's here and seemed to be put right here in the middle of something for a purpose. And the church was prophesied by Jesus when he walked the earth. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And a man called me, somebody from New York called me, wrote an email, say, hey, I got a real revelation of you speaking about church. And the Greek word for it, ekklesia, E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A, ekklesia, having to do with called out ones. But if you look at, Paul was teaching there and teaching and giving them something to relate to in the natural, it's the Roman government. And in the Roman government, what you do have is you have a government that has an emperor. And the emperor was Caesar. Caesar, Augustus, Caesar, whatever, Caesar, but the name was Caesar. And then, as they conquered territory, they would put over that territory first a tetrarch. Tetrarch comes from tetra in the Greek, meaning four, fourth. So it was four leaders over that. And then, as that those leaders would distinguish themselves by the performance of that leadership, they would raise them up and coronate them as they would come back to Rome, and Caesar would make them a king. So Herod would go back out as a king, or Pilate, or whoever. But they would have a certain region now that they're king over, and they could make laws in that. But when they came back to Rome, they would all get together in something called the Senate. But they would be representatives of that territory. So you are ambassadors sent out to a territory and come back every now and then for a Senate meeting. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? And I went to the word apostolos, having to do when Jesus was leading the small ships across and all that. Well, we've talked about that on Sundays. But you have to remember that Satan is not an inventor. So he lost his wisdom when he got put out of heaven. He was an anointed cherub that covered, but he lost that. So he has no wisdom. So he knows the most perfect model of anything comes from God. So what he does, it takes God's model and duplicates it in the earth or counterfeits it. But it works. I mean, his kingdom, and he has low-level demons, you know, and mid-level demons, and on up to strong men and people who were strong men over a whole region. I mean, he has it built up just like God has his built up. So he doesn't duplicate anything. And what I told you is that those pillars that God had set up, and I showed you that. Turn with me real quick to Proverbs chapter 9, please. Proverbs chapter 9. And I said that there is something called spheres of influence, or we call them pillars or institutions or whatever have you. And it could be education, could be media, so forth and so on. So those things are things that are here. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom has builded her house. She has hewed out how many pillars? Her seven pillars, see? See, and those were that was a model of God. So the enemy took that and made seven mountains himself, and that's what we had one of our speakers to come in and speak on. By the way, he's going to be coming back in the M&M conference, and I mean, make sure you make this. And he talked about the seven mountain strategies to taking those mountains. But what God is up to do is to take people, his people, and conquer each mountain so that we could control the media, so that we can control the newspapers, and so forth and so on. Because right now they're under, for the most part, they've been under the enemy's control. And that's why they can take a newspaper and they could slander somebody and talk about them and so forth. And the stuff is not even true. And they can take them and ruin their name. And because Satan can use all these models. See, he could use these things. But we're taking control of that. Okay? And what you see is an invasion. You see heaven coming to earth. And as it approaches, you see all of the what we call tribulation. Tribulation is not just you snatched up out of here. That's not tribulation. I define tribulation for my staff. Tribulation, I looked it up. It means severe affliction. It means distresses in life. It means vexation. It has to do and often denotes the trouble or distresses which proceed from persecutions. In Matthew 13:21, it talked about when tribulation and persecution arise for the word's sake. So as the word is coming in, tribulation starts happening. It even talked in the Old Testament about God coming into the earth. And as he was coming into the earth, the first thing you saw, y'all have to help me with this, the mountains begin to quake or something like that. Rocks begin to fly everywhere. The next thing that happened is wind and all of that. But it says he wasn't in that, and wasn't in this. And the next thing you know, it was a still small voice. But the presence of God coming into a demonic atmosphere. See? And that's why you're seeing now time. Time is a creation, just like a tree. It's a creation of God. And time is running out. It was only given so much time, and that time is running out. But time was never meant to stand between you and your dream. See, time can be a cruel taskmaster if you let time rule. Time was never meant to rule you. That's why if you were meant to be governed by time, God will never have given you faith. He would never have given you faith. When is faith? Now. It's always now. Faith has no time. Faith tells time what to do. Time says you're going to have to wait on your healing. Faith says, I'm going to heal you right now. Are you with me? So heaven is coming to earth, and when heaven arrives at earth, heaven has no time. So time is now, what you're going to be seeing is a lot of things, and they're showing even in Hollywood. The Bible says that wisdom shouts from the housetops, meaning that God will use the heathen to display wisdom that they don't even know what they're doing, but you can interpret it. And you look at the movie and say, oh, deja vu. Oh, that meant, oh, he went back in time and so forth. Well, that's what you can do. Faith can move time back and forth.
Yes, sir.
We just need to learn how to use our faith.
Yes, sir.
See? So all of this, eternity is invading time. Because everything that God's going to do, he's already done. And so in the eternity of things, eternity says it's already there. It's already there. It's not going to be there. It's already there. Boy, I need to stay on this because I see your mind kind of jerking on me here. Okay, let's just look at an example, all right? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. Let's just look at this real quick. Can I just do this real quick? Because I'm not going to take much time. I'll let you out in time here tonight. Genesis chapter 4. Let's see. I think that's where it is. No, it's not. It's Genesis chapter 5. Have you got it? Look at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now notice what God did. He took Enoch. Now how old the last age did it say Enoch was? 365. How old did it say Adam was in the garden? He didn't give it. Why? There you go. He wasn't living according to chronological time because he had eternal life. Once he sinned, now time took over him. So all the way, everybody you hear about now, Methuselah, everybody, now you're hearing about time. That's why people always ask you, how old are you? Why? They're trying to figure out how long you got before you die. I mean, not necessarily that, but okay, let me quit that. Okay. All right. But okay. But the moment you're born, you're starting to die. Can't you see what I'm saying? Because you're headed towards death, see? See? And that wasn't supposed to be the way it was. It's supposed to be that when you come in this earth, you live forever. Okay? But once Adam sinned, the curse took over and death came. And now every man's got to die. Okay? Now, appointed to man wants to die. All right? So, Enoch was 365 years and God, and he was not. God took him. Gone. But let's just see what Enoch saw. Because he's at the beginning. He's in Genesis. But let's see what he saw. Because I told you that everything already is that is to be. It already is. Now, you got to wrap your mind around this because the intellect has been trained in time. But I'm taking away time now. So I got to talk my mind into no time. Are you with me? Okay, let's go to Jude. And Jude is just before the book of Revelation. If you find Revelation, just turn one back. In Jude. Are you there?
Yes.
I said, are you there?
Yes.
Look at verse 14. And Enoch also the what from Adam? Seventh from Adam, seventh generation from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, so he was a prophet, behold, the Lord cometh with how many? 10,000 of his saints to do what? To execute judgment upon all. See, he saw Jesus' second coming from Genesis. Got it? He saw his second coming. So he saw the end from the beginning. Why? Because it's already written. It's already done. And your dream is already done. And the enemy is trying to put time between you and your dream. Oh, you got to see what I'm saying now. See, that's why the businesses that we have, where a normal business and you get the standards, the Dun and Bradstreet standards and whatnot for each business, and it tells you how long these businesses usually go on before they get to $10 million and so forth. Well, what took a normal business of a person who doesn't know God 10 years to get to $1 million, you can get there in 10 months. How about 10 days? Are you following the saying? Because if you've got dominion over time, what takes time for them doesn't take time for you. Now, I'm telling you, you got to just receive this now. I'm telling you. All right, so that's part of what's coming down, and that's part of what you, as a son of God, child of God, is going to be manifesting in this earth, because you are going to represent God. Let's go to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter, just a couple of doors back. Now, you don't have to flip much. Just a couple of doors back. Uh-huh. Let me know when you get there. Come on. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as how many days? 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as what? One day. So if I put like in there, you can understand it better. One day is like 1,000 years to God. And 1,000 years is just like one day. Are you with me? So there is a realm that exists above the realm of the temporal that is real and is already done. And in time, it comes into the natural. But you don't have to wait on time for it to come. Yeah. You can take it and pull it in when you need it. Does this make sense to you? Let's look. Now, if you're having any difficulty, if you're struggling with this, it's because our minds had been programmed with time. See, as the enemy wants to keep you in time because he's in time and he can't get out of time and he's locked in time. But if you get out of time, are you following what I'm saying? You can skip across the steps that it takes. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why I went and preached somewhere. God said, tell them they can be a millionaire in a month. This was in England. He said, tell them they can be a millionaire in a month. Now, right there, some people, okay. Well, that wasn't designed to make sense. It was designed to make faith. And if you can make faith, you can move time. So where it would take you a long time to be a millionaire, you can move time to 30 days. Come on now. You know, we need to teach a whole piece on this right here. Just this right here. Because your perception of time will dictate the supernatural in your life. You are not under time. Time is under you. But it doesn't move except by faith. Faith overrides time. Let me show you one more scripture. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. How are you doing? You with me? We're manifesting the who? Come on, say it. We're manifesting the sons of God now. We're manifesting God's people in this earth. They're going to see something different about you. You're going to be operating on a different level than the world is. Why? Because you're bringing heaven where? To earth. Manifesting. Let's just dream a little bit. How long do you think it took flowers to grow in the garden? I believe as fast as he could speak it, it came up. Chrysanthemums. Are you following what I'm saying? Look at y'all laughing. All right. What did I tell you? Okay. All right. Now just look at this verse and look at it in light of what I just said. Okay. Okay. Ta, 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 ta. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, our inward man is what? Renewed day by day. So the inward man inside of you is continuing to be renewed. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory while we look not at the things, come on, which are what? Seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that we see are what? Temporal. Temporal. But the things that are not seen are eternal. So we can see something other folk can't see. Folks, if you can see something other folk can't see, you can go somewhere other people cannot go. I can guarantee you that right now. All right, so this tribulation and persecution comes and so forth. And I said Sunday that a battle is necessary to get to where you're going. Because you're invading into a demonic atmosphere where Satan has set up his rule. And what you're doing is dispossessing squatters and dismantling systems. And when the battle comes, sometimes they come in waves. In other words, he tried to send one battle after another. Come on, some of y'all have been there. But the point of it is you're going to be in a battle. Now, let's go over to Revelation chapter 3, please. Revelation chapter 3. Some folk think if they get saved, everything just be lovely, just peachy cream. No, you just got in a battle. That's what you just did. Okay? Now, look what it says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. To him that what? Overcometh. Verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And I said Sunday, this, you are a registered overcomer. Now, anytime you win a victory or get success, that God gives you, it causes others sometimes to be jealous. Anytime. It's amazing how people respond, but anytime you are in this battle and you overcome and you're successful, I told you Sunday, nobody hates success, but it's amazing how they hate successful people. And it invites persecution. But that's what Jesus pointed out. Turn to Matthew's, please, and Matthew's gospel and chapter 5. I've got to finish this up real quick. I've got 3 minutes here. Matthew chapter 5. Let me know when you get to Matthew chapter 5. Praise God. Hello. Look at verse 10. Blessed are they which are what? Persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Keep going. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So, as you are overcoming in this earth, folks are not going to like you necessarily. Now, know that the blessings of God are stronger than the attacks of the devil. The blessings of God are stronger than the devil's attacks. Now, in every battle, you have a chance to give up. Now, we're trusting that you won't do that because God's already registered you as an overcomer. Say amen to that. So I showed you on Sunday, I talked about confidence and how the enemy is after your confidence. Now, let me show you what God is doing here. And this is kind of what we're going to center around when we get to it next time. Let's go over to Isaiah 61, please. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Let me know when you get there. All right, look at verse 1. I'm going to read. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now, that's a piece here that you got to get. Understand, this is the same thing that Jesus read in Luke chapter 4. But Jesus left something out. Put your hand right there. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4. Let's verify what was left out and what has come back in. Luke chapter 4. All right. In Luke chapter 4, let's start reading at verse 16. I'll start reading there. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, or Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now understand, he's tracking right through this scripture, because this was already written and done in heaven. So now he's manifesting this right in this earth. And verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he stopped right there. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Okay? So notice, God said something. It was released by the prophets. Then Jesus sent somebody in the earth to walk it out, to manifest it, because no word of God will return to him what? Void. Every word he spoke is going to be manifested in this earth. And he spoke a word in over here in Isaiah. And he said all these things, but Jesus left out a part. He left out this idea of, and the day, verse 2 of Isaiah 61, and the day of vengeance of our God, watch this, to comfort all that mourn. See. Now, verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called what? Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be what? Glorified. I was listening to a guy the other morning, and he said, interesting things are happening at his meeting. He says he's not laying hands on anybody, but the glory is falling. And he had one lady who came up and she said, look at my pants. And she had lost about 50 pounds sitting in that chair. Now, I know you want to know where the meeting is. One man had a steel rod in his leg, 2 inches long. When the glory lifted, the rod was gone. heaven coming to earth. And it is beautifying the church. And you got to get this. Oh, yo, still leaving you. This is what's happening. Now, I'm not going to get into it, but he talked about vengeance. When you say the word saved, I looked it up, and it comes from the Greek word sozo. Here's what it means. Listen, preserve or rescue from natural danger, rescue from afflictions, to save from death, to bring out from out into safety from a situation fraught with mortal danger. Saved means free from disease. Saved means free from demonic possession. Now let me ask you, isn't all this what Jesus did when he came here? Jesus saves. What does save mean? I'm not done. It means to be restored to health. It means to get well. It means to be preserved in good condition. Lord, have mercy. It means, what does that word mean? I'll figure it out in a minute. It means to prosper. It means to get on well. It means saved or preserved. It means saved from eternal death. Sozo. Jesus saves. Now, the job of the Holy Spirit is to get you ready to meet the bridegroom. So traditionally, the bride does not like to be seen until she got her, come on, y'all. She got, some of y'all believing. She got all her stuff on. Am I right about it? And it's supposed to be, quote, unquote, bad luck to say, I'm just using that because that's what the world is. But to be seen, the bride, to be seen before the wedding.
Yes, sir.
Are you following what I'm saying? Now, you are the bride. Now, men, don't freak. This is something higher than just, you know, all that. And God is preparing you for Jesus' coming. Because you're going to meet him in the air. And there's going to be a wedding supper. Are y'all with me? Now you can understand why John chapter 2, Jesus came to a wedding supper. And it was the first place that a miracle took place. And he had water in vessels. And they said they were out of wine. And she told Jesus, and he said, what is that to me? A woman, my time has not come. Got it? And she said, whatever he says to you, just do it. Notice, she could have waited on time, but her faith moved time, and that's what he needed, see? And so now what is happening is he began to give instructions. He said, now fill up these water pots and fill them up to the brim. And once they did, he said, now take a dipper and take it to the governor of the feast. He was a wine connoisseur. He knew good wine. Yes, sir. And once they did that, as they were taking it, the water turned to wine.
Yes.
And it was thought that the water represented the Torah or the law.
Yes.
But when you dipped it out of there and took it, you on to grace. Now there's a whole nother, the wine of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm saying that this miracle, so everything that has been troubling you, everything that has been denying you your destiny, whatever's been tampering with you, whatever has come against you and trying to impede your progress, whatever's stopping your children from being saved, whatever's stopping you from your career, from your business prospering, whatever is out of line with the word of God is going to be dealt with because of the vengeance of the Lord. And that's all I got. I'm going to have to start that next time. See, you're being prepared. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit some because the anointing comes in from the Holy Spirit. But what he's to do is one of his jobs is to prepare you, is to get you ready. See, he got to beautify you. He got to get you ready for the bridegroom. Say amen to that. And you're going to be looking good. So where you were limping, you ain't going to be limping no more. You're going to walking like you're on 35th Street. But no, you ain't walk like that. But my point to you is that everything that was broken, everything that was missing, that the Spirit of God in these last days, you want to see now. And that's what's happening. And that's why in these services, that's what's going on. So now we are going to get in an attitude where we're going to expect the glory of God. Glory to God to put some money in your pocket. All right. Did y'all get something out of that? Manifesting the what? Manifesting the sons of God. Okay, if you're here and you need to be born again, that's the entrance way into all of this that I talked about. And God certainly wants you to be.